Join me once again in Romans. And I have in your bulletin, Romans 8:28a, which I am going to speak on the first portion of that verse. But I want to back up, if you will, and begin reading at verse 26. Verse 26 of Romans chapter 8, a bit of what we covered last week, but to set the context appropriately. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. And we know that in all things God works for the good. And I'll stop our reading there for just a moment. Last week here, a very special service, a very special time that the Lord was able to, in His grace, extend to us, because as we identified last week, there's many people in our congregation sick, hurting, broken, challenged, overwhelmed with tragedy, loss of loved ones, etc. And so we were moved to bring words of comfort, I pray, to you, and then ask you to come and have prayer, and many of you did. But as I said in my portion of the prayer today, I'm sure there were many more of you who sat there in your pew and prayed for God to comfort you where you are. Last week in the portion of the sermon, I believe that I kind of left the door open and expressed some doubt and some question as to why some of these things were happening. And I quite honestly laid that before God in our time of prayer and left it at that. But I'm here to tell you about the amazing grace of God. Because there is always going to be in our lives those times of doubt. There's always going to be times in our lives when things are coming about that we just don't understand, and we ask the question, why? Many times you'll read in the Psalms where David starts out in some very strong, questioning language of exactly what is God doing. And it sounds as though he's in despair. It sounds as though he's questioning God and His ability. But before the end of that psalm, God has exposed Himself, revealed Himself, answered the need, responded to the situation, and David turns into a language of praise. I would like to carry us in that way here today. And we know that in all things God works for the good. We know that in all things God works for the good. Every one of you seated here this morning, think about your life. Think about where you are. Some of you have some great and wonderful things going on in your life that you should be endlessly and continuously praising God. Many, however, have things going on in their life that praise is not the first thing that you would bring to mind. But I want all of you to think about what's going on in your life. What's going on in your world in the context of this statement? And we know all things God works for the good. And we know that in all things God works for the good. If you would like to turn with me to 1 Corinthians, or you can just listen, but in chapter 10 of 1 Corinthians, the remainder of the sermon is going to be a great deal of scripture reading from different stories that I hope will bring us the hope that we need from our Lord. Chapter 10 of 1 Corinthians, beginning at the 13th verse. No temptation has seized you except is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, He will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. All of the trials and troubles that we experience in our life are common to man. It is extremely doubtful that any one of us can say that what has happened to us, what has been a part of our life, the experience we've gone through, the tragedy that is about us, that we are unlike anyone else, because that is simply not true. The passage here says the temptations that come along are common to man. They are common to our lives. They are common to the existence we have. The suffering and the trials come along pretty much as a part of life. If you're going through life without any trials or trouble, you better check your pulse. But listen to what Paul says to the church in Corinth. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. What is common to man in the struggles of our life is not in any way beyond what God can prepare you for, sustain you through, and if it be in His will, deliver you from. It's not there. Nothing is without or outside of that ability God has. There's another part of that promise also. It says, but when you are tempted, He will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. A wonderful promise that wherever you are, whatever you find yourself in, A, it is common to man. You're not alone. B, God said He would put more on you than you could stand. And C, He said He would give you and provide for you a way out. I'd like to read you a story of a particular gentleman in the Old Testament who God provided a way out. But it's probably not the way you would think. Turn with me if you like, or you can listen to Isaiah chapter 38, and it is the story of Hezekiah. Hezekiah, king of Israel, more prominently stationed in Jerusalem. And along the 38th chapter, he has just been through a battle and has been faced with an enemy, Sennacherib. And he has seen God's marvelous work. A great army surrounded Jerusalem. But Hezekiah prayed, and God delivered. God struck down 185,000 men so that the Assyrian leader, instead of attacking Jerusalem, decided to turn and go home. And his fate found him there as his sons killed him, as he was praying to his God. Here is Hezekiah seeing this wonderful delivery of God. Hezekiah seeing God work in response to his prayer, delivering him from his enemies, and he's seeing Him work in this wonderful, majestic, glorious way. But then we read chapter 38. Listen as I read pretty much the whole chapter. So listen carefully. In those days, Hezekiah became ill and was at the point of death. The prophet Isaiah, son of Amos, went to him and said, "This is what the Lord says, put your house in order because you are going to die. You will not recover." Do you imagine that Hezekiah almost lost his breath at that statement? God, I have just seen You deliver us from our enemy. You have stricken the army of the Assyrians, given us deliverance, and then I am to die? Last week I mentioned some of you who have been delivered through some very troubled times and seen God work wonderfully in your life, only to be hit by another. And you say, why, Lord? I've seen you work wonderfully here, but here you again take me into this place. Why? Hezekiah found himself, I'm sure, asking the same question. Verse 2, Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and prayed to the Lord. Remember, O Lord, how I have walked before you faithfully and with wholehearted devotion and have done what is good in your eyes. And Hezekiah wept bitterly. Then the word of the Lord came to Isaiah, go and tell Hezekiah, this is what the Lord says, the God of your father David says, I have heard your prayer and seen your tears. I will add 15 years to your life, and I will deliver you and this city from the hand of the king of Assyria. I will defend this city. God will provide a way out. Hezekiah, a man of prayer, prayed. God responded. But listen what Hezekiah wrote about this dilemma, this situation he found himself in, picking up at verse 9. A writing of Hezekiah, king of Judah, after his illness and recovery, I said, in the prime of my life, must I go through the gates of death and be robbed of the rest of my years? I said, I will not again see the Lord. The Lord in the land of the living, no longer will I look on mankind or be with those who now dwell in this world. Like a shepherd's tent, my house has been pulled down and taken from me. Like a weaver, I have rolled up my life. And he has cut me off from the loom. Day and night, you made an end of me. I waited patiently till dawn, but like a lion, he broke all my bones. Day and night, you made an end of me. I cried like a swift or thrush. I moaned like a mourning dove. My eyes grew weak as I looked to the heavens. I am troubled. O Lord, come to my aid. Again, a prayer. Hezekiah recounted his desperation. Hezekiah recounted his seemingly desperate state and acknowledged that God had taken him through these things. And he waited patiently for God to answer, but yet it seemed as though it were a roaring lion who came in and broke him. Would that not lead to a time of despair? Would that not, you think, lead to a time when you would sit back and say, okay, Lord, maybe this is all for me? But listen to how Hezekiah summarized and recounted these events. God provides a way out. Verse 15, but what can I say? He has spoken to me and he himself has done this. I will walk humbly all my years because of this anguish of my soul. Lord, by such things men live and my spirit finds life in them too. You restored me to health and let me live. Surely it was to my benefit that I suffered such anguish. In your love you kept me from the pit of destruction. You have put all my sins behind your back. For the grave cannot praise you. Death cannot sing your praise. Those who go down to the pit cannot hope for your faithfulness. The living, they praise you as I am doing. Fathers, tell your children about your faithfulness. Verse 17. Surely it was for my benefit that I suffered such anguish. God's way out for Hezekiah, yes, was giving him 15 more years. But if you read chapter 39, Hezekiah had a problem. I believe it was pride. He loved to show off his treasures. But here Hezekiah said, it is God who has done these things to me. I understand and I know that. And it was surely for my benefit. God provided for Hezekiah a way out. It was not necessarily in the deliverance from his tragedy. It was in the changing of his perception of the things about him. Instead of looking back to what God had done to him and saying, "Why me, Lord?" he ultimately said, "Surely this was for my benefit. Surely this is something I needed. Surely this is something that I needed to grow with. Surely this is something I needed to change who I was, to change my perspective." As I said, I think Hezekiah had a problem with pride because he said in verse 15, the second part, "I will walk humbly all my years because of this anguish." I think God was bringing Hezekiah down just a bit. My suspicion there. But in chapter 39, Hezekiah turned and showed the strangers all of his treasures. But here I want us to see the grace of God in answering prayer. He first did respond to Hezekiah's prayer. He did first respond to his desire to live, and he gave him 15 years. But then also, in all of that that went on, Hezekiah saw God's leading, God's teaching in the tragedies and in the circumstances, in the dilemmas that he found himself in. And so instead of praying further, he just simply said, "Surely this was for my benefit, this anguish that I suffer." I don't know what God has for you in your anguish. I don't know what God has for you in your suffering. I don't know what God has for me in mine. But I do know the promises. I do know that He will not put on me more than I can bear. I know He will not put on you more than temptation can bring to you. I know that nothing will ever come upon us that is uncommon in our world. It will be common to man. And I do know the promise that He will provide for us a way to stand up under these trials, under these tragedies. Because it is God who is wise. It is God who is sovereign. It is God who has an ordained will that He has allowed us to participate in. And we participate in a way that brings to an accomplishment that which He wills to bring about. Do we know what those are? No. We probably couldn't stand or carry or bear the knowledge. But we know the promises. One more place I'd like to ask you to join me. Very familiar passage in Jeremiah. I have a picture of Marley. This passage is under that picture. Chapter 29, verse 11. Yes, is where I'll begin. If you are one to highlight your Bible or mark it in some way, this might be one that you would choose to do so. Jeremiah 29:11. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity." The context of this passage is Jeremiah speaking to the nation of Israel as they are going off into captivity. Which is an odd thing, because Jeremiah actually told them that God said that this is your salvation. This is your safety. I'm going to destroy Jerusalem. I'm going to destroy your land. Your safety, your existence is in Babylon, in captivity. But God promised them the land. God promised them to be a nation. But here through the prophet Jeremiah, he is saying, "No, not at this point, in this way. Because of their sin, judgment came upon them. But he was going to salvage a remnant. And he said their safety was in captivity. Can you imagine if someone were to tell you that the tragedy that you are in right now is your salvation? The dilemma you find yourself in right now is the way God will provide you a way to stand. Doesn't quite fit our desires. Doesn't quite fit our wants. But I believe it to be very biblical. This promise is to you. If you are a child of God and you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, it matters none. It matters none whatsoever. The tragedies that you're going through, they will not be more than you could bear. They will not be outside the wisdom and the will of God. Unless, of course, it is tied to your disobedience. But He will provide for us a way to stand. He will provide for us a way to stand. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Then you will call upon me and pray to me. Is that not what we did last week? Is that not what we did last week? Yes, it is. Please have every ambition of living within the promises of God. Let us pray. Father, there are many things we don't understand, but Your promises we have heard, and it is in Your promises we shall live. Please help us, O Lord, to be strong and to look for that way You have given us to stand up within these things. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him. Father, help us to love You so that this promise can be mine. In Jesus' name, amen.